just arrived home from the office, and we hear him say,
"Where could I go in?"
"Mr. Sledge is using the telephone."
"Yes?"
"He's talking long distance to his mother and sister in Pontiac. I told him he could have privacy."
"Yes."
"When will be through directly?"
"I better on some work from the office."
"Hurry up, John."
"Yes. Big Bassie and Roger. I'm supposed to have them in the mail by 6 o'clock tonight."
"Oh, well, so sit right down here on the steps and begin on them."
"Oh, thank
you." "Sure."
"All my stuff's in the library table. Pen and ink and erasers and charts and figures and junk. Anyway, I couldn't accomplish anything scrawled on a half-wit front porch."
"Well, I'm sorry, but we'll just have to stay out of that living room until Mr. Sledge is done with his conversation."
"How long have you been talking?"
"Oh, quite a little bit." "Sit down here by me. You're not in such a rush, you can't wait a minute or two."
"No, but I dash home from the office 90 miles an hour to do a job, then discover I can't enter my own house."
"Well, I'm sorry, but there's no help for it."
"Well, this is phone calls run into money. I hope Buddy Sledge appreciates that."
"He's going to pay."
"Why don't he use his own phone, anyway?"
"Well, Mr. Cameron and Mr. Breed, Miss Harris's other two roomers, are both home this afternoon. Mr. Sledge likes privacy when he talks to his mother and sister." "He was very much upset when he knocked at the door a while ago."
"Crying?"
"Yes. He's had his feelings hurt downtown."
"He's always having his feelings hurt."
"Well, on the floor, you know."
"Oh, Mommy's boy. The big ox is 40 years old, ain't he?"
43, but that don't cut any ice. Once a mama's boy, always a mama's boy."
"Who hurt his feelings this trip?"
"Some clergyman at the 5 and 10 cent store. Seems Mr. Sledge likes to drop in there at noontime to look around."
"Well, a beautiful woman telling you he's greatly educated."
"Hello, Margaret."
"Hi."
"Now, who'll want to go in the house?"
"Right, you'll love to go in the house. I've got a bushel of work to do before 6 o'clock.
You'll be done directly. How did you get your shirt all dirty?"
"Down the mud. Can't go up early today, hey, Jeff."
"On the contrary, I have to tackle a heap of invoices."
"You can't go inside, Willie."
"Why not?"
"Miss Harris's roommate's using the phone."
"Mr. Sledge?"
"Yeah. He's talking long distance to his mother and sister in Pontiac. I told him he wouldn't be bothered with people running in and out."
"I won't bother him. I just want to get my first baseman's glove."
"Where is it?"
"Under the Davenport."
"No. We have to stay out of that living room until he's through with his conversation."
"I concur with you in that sentiment, Harold."
"The guys are waiting for me over in Cannon's vacant lot."
"Well, let him wait."
"Is the baboon going to chew the rag all day?"
"He hasn't had a chance to chat with his mother and sister for a long time. Probably got a lot to tell him. Anyway, he's all upset."
"What's he all upset about?"
"Some snippy clerk down at the 5 and Dime hurt his feelings."
"He crying?"
"Oh, my, yes. Just more and sobbed away when he knocked at the door a while ago."
"He's a darned ball baby that ever come down the pipe."
"It's not your place to make fun. Remember, you're just a little boy, and Mr. Sledge is a grown man."
"He sure don't act like a grown man."
"All right."
"Oh, Sledge. Rosemary, go look in the witness. See what the numbskulls do."
"No."
"He's probably all through talking on the phone. I bet he steps out of the Davenport meeting."
"No."
"I can peek in the living room without him seeing me."
Did you hear me say no?
"He's supposed to have a long distance bill of $40,000.
He'll pay. We won't get stuck."
"Enough invoices. They're still a gunny sack to go over by 6 o'clock in here. I sit with my teeth in my mouth."
"Well, he uses his own telephone."
"Mr. Cameron and Mr. Breed, Miss Harris's other two roomers, are both home this afternoon. I guess Mr. Sledge is afraid they'll jolly him."
"Molly Clark, Rufus Johnson, Willis Drawback, and Leland Richards, all over in Cabin's vacant lot waiting for me."
"Oh, I don't imagine there'll be any horrible consequences if you don't return."
"I could slip in the doggone living room and get my first patient's mitt, and Mr. Sledge can't realize I even
know I thought I heard stopping inside the house.
Oh,
yeah. It's not smart to laugh at people. Not the least bit smart."
"No, with a guy 43 years old."
"I guess a guy 43 years old can have feelings."
"What happened in the 10-cent store that broke his heart?"
"Some clerk was rude. He likes to spend his noontime in at the 5 and Dime, see. He likes to walk through the aisles and look at their different articles for sale." "Well, today he stopped at the candy counter to buy a little bag of sweets. He told the clerk he wanted a penny's worth of this and a penny's worth of that and so on. And one of the things he ordered was a penny's worth of licorice buttons. The clerk put 5 in the sack. Mr. Sledge says, those licorice buttons are 6 for a penny, you say? The clerk says, 5 for a penny. Mr. Sledge says, I bought some the other day and they were 6 for a penny. A man with a mustache waited on me. The clerk says, look, neighbor, I can't stall around all day arguing with kids about whether licorice buttons are 5 for a penny or 6 for a penny. You want licorice buttons 5 for a penny, or don't you want any licorice buttons at all? I don't want any licorice buttons at all, says Mr. Sledge, and he stormed out of the 5 and Dime, sobbing and crying to be sedan.
Gee, this fellow's too romantic.
No, he's not either.
Any lame-brained,
I admit he's a little on the tardy side. But that That's understandable. Perfectly understandable. All his life, he's been babied and coddled. His mother and sister idolized him. Why, up until he was 20 years old, nobody had ever said a mean word to him. It was a shock to learn there was meanness in the world. That's why he cried. And another thing is, he's homesick. He just pines to be back in Pontiac. It's his life, it's smart enough. So, didn't you say he was an awful good boy?
Oh, and don't take blame.
He got peachy marks in school, I know. Miss Harris was telling me he had all his report cards stuck in the mirror of his filter. Wonderful marks. Arithmetic 100, geography 100, history 100, everything 100. Shows he's not winning.
Yeah, but imagine a man, 43, crying like an infant because of a 10-cent store clerk wouldn't sell him licorice that fixed for a penny.
I don't think it's our place to criticize. You can't help the way he's built. I'm sorry for him, and I'm glad to do all the favors I can. It's cruel to laugh at a poor fellow that's blue and miserable.
My friends over in Cabin Drake and Lytle still put a lot of faith in my promises after this.
His friends over in Cabin Drake and Lytle probably survived you not being with them.
Hey, you can't be still talking.
You'll come out when you're through.
It's been a quarter of an hour.
I've heard of people talking long distance, quarter of an hour.
I got these invoices. I didn't come home to lie on the front porch and let the breeze blow down my collar. I come home to work.
Fred, your invoice is on the steps here.
Oh,
I told Mrs. Schleich you could have complete privacy, and I can't go back on. What's the matter? That's not comical, right? Not at all comical.
No, but I did.
The telephone company hands us their bill. We'll send our undershirt to Detroit, Michigan, parts of both.
He'll pay.
Hope so.
He'll pay.
I'd love to the window blow warm and see
it. No. Stay right where you are.
Well, sir, you probably stepped out of the Davenport roof and bid it. How do you know he's back? May have finished chatting with his mother 10 minutes ago.
He'll open the door and let us know when he's through.
This is getting slightly ridiculous. I don't mind going along with halfway junk, but to a certain extent, there comes a time when...
Huh? Look.
Where?
Who not turned? Didn't? Turn him now.
Yeah.
Well, why don't he come out?
Probably compose me.
Well, I hope the son of a gun.
I don't want any kidding or funny remarks or smart aleck trash from you two. Be courteous, Mrs. Dyson. See him just this night,
and you'll bring
Well, all through.
Hello, Mrs. Dyson.
Well, she did, sir. One day.
You had a lovely long chat with your mother and sister, didn't you? Here, take my handkerchief. Yours is soaking, sopping wet.
Another brief interlude at a small house halfway up in the next block. There we leave Christo's Wickham Fade until tomorrow.